Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The Columbus Dispatch last week reported that state officials are considering a merger of the juvenile and adult prison systems. If that came to pass, Ohio would be the third state behind North Carolina and Kansas to do so. The Kasich administration has declined to confirm or deny the report, as well as join us today on the program. Today, we're talking about what if those systems were merged, the potential pros and cons, what it might look like. Joining us by phone is Columbus Dispatch senior reporter Randy Ludlow. Welcome back, Randy.
Good morning, Ann.
You broke this story last week, and we're talking about the merger of the Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections, the adult system, with the Department of Youth Services. And you heard about this from multiple sources. What's your understanding about what's driving the discussion in the first place? Is it economics or better services or what?
Well, the Kasich administration over the years has sought to combine programs and services for what they see as the sake of efficiency, both operating-wise and dollar-wise. For example, in 2013, they merged drug and alcohol addiction services with mental health. They've combined the parks and watercraft divisions within natural resources. And there's other less visible mergers, too, such as among professional licensing boards, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And they potentially view this as bringing leaner operations to the table. Now, what is driving this is Department of Youth Services is but a fraction of the size it used to be. Amid the use of more community-based facilities and alternatives, DYS offenders since 08, the number of troubled youth they have in custody has declined from about 1,500 to 500. So perhaps that's no longer seen as worthy of a standalone department.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking with Randy Ludlow today, Columbus Dispatch senior reporter, who has written recently about talks, neither confirmed nor denied by the Kasich administration, to merge the Department of Youth Services with the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Randy, is it safe to conclude or not correct to conclude that 500 offenders left with the Department of Youth Services is the worst of the worst, or the hardest, most troubled of the worst, that kind of a thing, that they're not just run-of-the-mill DYS offenders?
No, the ones in direct state custody generally are those accused of more serious crimes. They're also those who would have, for example, longer sentences than youths might serve in county or local-based juvenile correctional facilities. So this does consist largely of the worst of the worst, as it were, among juvenile offenders.
And when we're talking about merging these two departments, first, can we talk about just what the objectives of the systems and how they compare and contrast? What can you tell our listeners about that?
Well, I think the Ohio Supreme Court answered that also last week in a ruling that found that juvenile convictions cannot be used to enhance the level of felonies or the prison time faced by the same offender who then gets in trouble as an adult. The court pointed out that the adult system largely exists to punish and to protect the public, while the youth system is more geared toward rehabilitation and trying to turn that young life around while they're still young and impressionable.
The DYS houses 478 juvenile offenders with a $121.7 million annual budget. And I was startled to read that the number of DYS employees is more than twice the number of offenders. Was that the case back when there were 1,500 offenders within the system?
No, I mean, that now represents a much higher staff to offender ratio. But still, I mean, these youths require close 24-hour day supervision. You also have concerns you don't have to worry about in the adult system, such as these kids have to go to school. You have to have teachers. And just, the state has had to spend more money and increase staffing to comply with a federal court consent decree, which was just recently released, to not place so many youths in segregation, to reduce violence, to improve education opportunities and mental health treatment. So the things the state has had to do to comply with this federal court oversight to improve the system also did serve to increase staffing costs.
Where have all the other offenders gone? What's being done with them?
Well, very similar to mental health facilities, there is less use of incarceration upon finding a delinquency on the part of youth. There's more use in trying to get them into, oversight and rehabilitation programs, with individual plans to help correct their behavior, and plus more also being held for shorter sentences in local and county-based juvenile detention facilities.
You talked with Department of Rehabilitation and Correction spokeswoman Joellen Smith, who did not confirm nor deny talk of a merger. She said that they do routinely talk with Department of Youth Services about best practices and partnerships to help them be more efficient. Did she give you any examples of what she meant by that?
Not offhand. I just received a short emailed comment. Where this has raised concern is among advocates for those in the juvenile system. Not my main story, but in a follow-up blog, I talked to Alphonse Gerhardstein, the Cincinnati lawyer who oversaw the federal court decree, since he was one of the lawyers to the state practically a decade ago. And he thinks it would be a mistake to combine these two departments, because he says DYS has made such a dramatic turnaround that its leadership has done such a good job that he thinks combining the adult and juvenile systems would serve to detract attention and focus on the youth services end of things. He's very pleased with what Ohio has done to upgrade its juvenile detention facilities and how they treat the youth. Juvenile court judges are not perhaps expressing concerns, but in talking to the Ohio Judicial Conference, juvenile judges do want to have a meeting with the governor and or his staff to ask questions about what this might portend. The Ohio Civil Service Employees Association, which represents unionized employees, both the adult and juvenile systems, also has its concerns and believes the system should remain separate. There are also various youth advocacy groups also concerned about this proposal.
The Ohio Civil Service Employees Association, you said, has concerns. What are their concerns? Layoffs?
Well, they just point to their very separate and totally different missions. I talked to Carl Wilkins, and he's the OCSEA assembly official in charge of the DYS, unionized employees. And he says, not that the adult prisons don't work on rehabilitation, but that's our core mission. We try to become a kinder, gentler agency. And he also, guards no longer wear uniforms. They wear a polo shirt. They're no longer called juvenile correction officers. They're now youth specialists. And this is just some of the mindset they tried to change to help improve the system.
I mean, has anyone suggested to you, those of of your sources, that they're envisioning any kind of housing change for DYS and DRC, or is the merger thought of more as an administrative merger?
I do not necessarily know that, but based on my following the system for a quarter century, I think you're looking more at an administrative change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly under laws and court rulings, juveniles do have to be held separately from adults. Now, they're only down to three state juvenile facilities anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certainly no room in the end for the adult prisons, because they're near all-time highs in the number of prisoners. So I don't really see how you could find some vacant wings in adult prisons and try to move juveniles in there.
Two other states have done this.
Well, at least two other states.
At least that we know of, Kansas and North Carolina. What do you know about that?
I know the same concerns have been expressed in those states about taking the eye off the ball of the youthful offenders, as it were. Most criticism have been expressed, but those are so recent, I don't know if the jury's really in yet on what that has meant.
Another note to our listeners that we did invite the Ohio Department of Youth Services and the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction. Both declined to participate in today's show. Randy, are you still talking with them about this, or have they just shut it down until, I guess, a reveal, perhaps, if there is one?
Well, they obviously don't want to talk about it now because they will realize these concerns that are out there are going to come up. They neither confirm nor deny. I can guarantee you this information is solid, or it would not have been a front page story.
Mm-hmm.
But it is under consideration. How far along it is, who knows? Will it ever eventually happen? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
There may be some legislative opposition hurdles to get by too in trying to enact any change in the state budget we'll see early next year. So it's very early on.
Yeah, you did talk to one of the Cliff Height, is Senator or Representative Cliff Height from the Ohio General Assembly, and he said he hadn't heard anything about it.
Right. Senator Cliff Height, Republican Finley, is chairman of the Correctional Institution Inspection Committee,
mm-hmm.
Which is the bipartisan dual chamber committee that oversees the adult prisons. And he had not heard of any discussion of a merger, but he did say, I would really have to look at that one.
Would it require, well, of course it would require legislative approval, particularly if it was put into the budget and would have to go into a budget, right?
That is seen as setting the ground for this, yes.
Yeah. Well, Randy Ludlow, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Rand.
It's Randy Ludlow, senior reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. He broke the story about talks now about merging the Department of Rehabilitation and Correction with the Department of Youth Services. Once again, the state DYS and ODR have not agreed to be on the show or talk about this. They've neither confirmed nor denied that the story is accurate. Coming up, we're going to hear from a juvenile court judge about his thoughts about such a merger. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Last year, Ohio spent $150 million locking up or treating juvenile offenders. That comes out to about $300,000 spent per youth per year. Now, the Columbus Dispatch reports that state officials are considering a merger of the juvenile and adult systems. Joining us now by phone is Montgomery County Juvenile Court Judge and President-elect of the National Council of Juvenile and Family Court Judges, Judge Anthony Capizzi. Welcome to the show.
And good morning. Thanks for having me on.
We know that you oppose a merger of the juvenile and adult prison systems. Why?
Well, you know, I oppose the merger if they become one facility or one unit. And I need to back up for a second. I think, although I'm opposed to the concept, I'm concerned about what could happen. And that's why we need to talk a lot more about these issues. It's clear to me that This state has done a great amount of work over the last 25 years to make a difference and make facilities such as prisons for youth to be more livable and safer and better rehabilitative facilities. Back in about 25 years ago, we had almost 2,600 youth at DYS, and now as of yesterday, we're down to about 495. The difference is that we found that in the old days, we treated children like they were little adults. And I think studies have shown that children are not little adults and need to be treated differently. And from the beginning of having juvenile judges and juvenile courts, that goes back to, frankly, 1899, we have understood that children need to be treated differently. So, you know, when I say I'm opposed to it, I'm opposed to them becoming one system if that system changes how we deal with children. You know, we know in the adult facility there's some rehabilitation done, but frankly, it's not the focus of that in the adult system. Where the juvenile system is purely focused on rehabilitating a child. We know children aren't the same as young adults. We know we should rehabilitate a child, not punish a child, and we know there needs to be individualized treatment. And there is concern among judges, there's concern about advocacy groups, that if the merger's more than just a bean counter merger, it could be problematic for children in the state of Ohio.
Bean counter meaning kind of like just the clerical type of things being merged and
right.
The big thinker people being merged.
Right. I think we want to work with the governor's office and with the legislature to evaluate what their needs are. I mean, what aspect do they feel needs to be merged? And if it's a dollars and cents issue, I think as long as our issues are addressed, as long as we can maintain the individuality of treatment of juveniles and work towards getting them rehabilitated, as long as this merger does not mean joining some facilities. Because you sort of mentioned that when you were talking to Mr. Ludlow earlier, you know, there are only 3 juvenile court facilities in the state of Ohio now because we've been getting rid of kids and putting them back in the community mm-hmm. where it's safer. Look what's happened at the adult level. I mean, we're just the opposite. In the juvenile system, we rehabilitate locally, and we've been successful at it. In the adult system, they just keep on making them larger. So if they want some of the juvenile correction facility buildings that are empty to use for adults, that's fine. But I think, and this isn't really a scare tactic, but at the same time, we need to make sure that the juvenile uniqueness of juveniles is maintained in whatever plan the governor's office has. I'm assuming it will be, and I know the judges in this state are very active and want to work with the governor's office to try and find ways to make the budget meaningful and fair, but at the same time not lose individual treatment needs of children.
It seems like for as long as DYS has been sort of grappling with this, some of the issues they have and trying to work with judges to localize treatment and that sort of a thing, that's the same amount of time that the adult system's been dealing with a lot of these issues, particularly with the uptick in drug-related offenses.
I don't want to be critical of the DRC, but yeah. You're right. The juvenile system has been successful. Now, of course, we've been under court orders.
Yeah.
And that court order lasted for 7.5 years. But the reality is that court order was very beneficial for children in the state of Ohio. It made us look at ourselves internally and fix the problems. And successfully, we've been able to do that. It hasn't happened in the adult system. So if it's anything more than administrative leadership, I'm concerned. And I think we have a right to be concerned because we've worked so hard to make the citizens of Ohio understand that children are not just little adults. They don't have the mindset. They don't have the intellect. Their maturity level doesn't really make it by the time they're 18. There's a lot of uniquenesses to children that, with the help of the consent decree, Department of Youth Services, with the governor's support, frankly, has come mm-hmm. a long way to make our facilities some of the best in the United States.
But a lot of that starts, I mean, doesn't it, at the judicial level? I mean, it depends on where you send them, right?
That's true. The answer is yes, but at the same time, DYS has done a good job of giving local judges incentives to keep children local.
Okay.
And so there's funding in place, frankly, that benefits a county if they're able to give the child and their family local services. Because we all know that these children do better when they're local, when they have some family contact, and when they're sent to a DYS facility, that's challenging to do. And so you're right, the judges have to decide where to send them. But I think now, because DYS has done such a great job of making the facilities more meaningful and helpful for children, I think judges are more confident now in sending those youth which they have to send. Because mm-hmm. frankly, in my own court situation, probably 12 years ago when I got on the bench, we were sending about 160 youth to DYS every year.
Of course, Montgomery County being a big county, Dayton.
That's correct.
You know, yeah.
And now we're down to maybe 25 or 30. So
wow.
we've cut our youth going to DYS by 70%. And that's because we have really built up local services in the community. And I think most, clearly most of the larger courts in the state, the Big Six, have been able to do that. But reality is, our kids are treated better at DYS now than they've ever been treated in the history of DYS. And I have concerns, as well as many judges do, as to why are we trying to rock the boat? Let's keep what we have and make sure it gets better. If the adult system wants to learn more from the juvenile system, we are more than willing and supportive of that.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. The Columbus Dispatch has reported that there are talks in the Kasich administration to merge the Department of Youth Services, the juvenile justice or juvenile prison system in the state of Ohio, with the Department of Rehabilitation and Correction in Ohio. That's the adult system. Yeah, you've been listening to Judge Anthony Capizzi. He is president-elect for the National Council of Juvenile and Family Court Judges and also a juvenile court judge in Montgomery County. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Now, I want to introduce a couple other guests to the show. Renuka Mayadev, she's Executive Director of the Children's Defense Fund of Ohio. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Delighted to be here.
Also, Erin Davies, she's Executive Director of the Juvenile Justice Coalition. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So these concerns, was this a surprise when you read Randy's story in the Dispatch, Erin Davies?
I think the discussion of a merger has actually been going on for several years now.
Okay.
I actually revived a memo that I wrote in 2014 about this very issue. So I think the discussions have always been there. I think the concern this time was we were hearing the discussions again and that things may be moving more quickly.
In the context of a state budget.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big difference. What about you, Renuka? Were you surprised or you share the same kind of, you know, knowledge of it?
Yeah, I think there's some thoughts about the budget starting right now. And so we're really the state's looking at dollars. And this has been there's been rumblings of this for quite some time.
Now, Judge Capizzi is saying, hey, if it ain't broke, don't, you know, are you going to fix it by merging it with a system that may not be broke, but is struggling on some levels? What do you make of that from where you sit at the Children's Defense Fund?
Well, let's look at the missions of the two agencies. And I actually took some time and the DRC's mission is to reduce recidivism among those we touch. And their vision is to reduce crime in Ohio. Now, if you look at DYS's mission, it's to improve Ohio's future by habilitating youth and empowering families and communities with core values, Anne, of providing youth everything they need to succeed. Now, as you think about a merger, and corporate folks do this all the time, mm-hmm. right? You have to think about how do missions align for success? I mean, this gives me pause as we think about, well, what are the combined agencies going to look like with two missions that are so very different? And in the corporate sector, what's at risk? Profits. Here, it's children's futures.
Judge Capizzi, Louis Tobin of the Ohio Judicial Conference told the Dispatch that juvenile judges don't necessarily have concerns about a potential merger, but would like to sit down with the Kasich administration with some questions. Any sense about whether or not the Kasich administration has reached out to any judges or talked to anybody about this?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, and at this point, the answer is no. But you know, this is preliminary, I want to keep an open dialogue with the governor's office and with the legislature because, you know, they can push things through sometimes with our support or without our support. And so my bigger concern is making sure that we protect the integrity of the juvenile justice system. And I agree with Renuka. I have concerns. It's red flags. But we have to work with the state. And clearly, in the budgetary debate, I don't want the juvenile justice system held hostage.
You know, a pattern that has occurred, it predates the Kasich administration, has been to shift funding obligations for things to the local level.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, you know, Aaron Davies, about that. I mean, how much of the success of DYS, you know, lowering its numbers from roughly 1,500 down to roughly 500 now over the last just 8 years, mm-hmm. how much is that a function of local entities taking on more?
It's the function.
Okay.
I mean, that's where youth are going. And it's, I think it's important to know.
And DYS isn't funding it at the local level then?
So they are.
Okay.
And so what DYS has really done is strategically reduce its population by funding programs in the community that are more research and outcome based.
Okay.
And so even in the last budget, DYS, frankly, has saved the state tens of millions of dollars. And in that last budget cycle, those savings, actually, it said in the budget that those savings were going back into the general revenue fund. And so instead of reinvesting those savings that we had created in further locality improvements, that money just kind of got lost in the budget. And so I think we have to really realize that if a youth isn't in a DYS facility, they don't disappear. They're in our communities. They have high levels of needs, and we need to keep reinvesting in
those
kids.
Well, I would
kids.
Imagine just from a, you know, I'm not much of an accountant. I don't even play one on television, and, as they say. But if they merge the two entities, that means those savings wouldn't even necessarily go back into the general revenue fund. It would
Correct.
Stay within, and it could be going over to savings that could be benefiting the
right.
adult system.
Exactly. And I think what we've seen, so the numbers nationwide, there are 10 states nationally that have merged their adult and juvenile corrections.
Okay.
18 states are like Ohio that have a freestanding juvenile justice agency, but 23 states, if they've merged the juvenile entity with someone else, it's been with child welfare or human services.
Oh.
And so one thing we've seen with the multi-system youth committee that happened in the legislature this year was DYS is leaps and bounds ahead of other agencies that have youth as a part of an adult system because they've been able to maintain that focus on youth. And so we would say, if you're going to merge DYS with anything, we should create a special kids agency that really focuses on what works for kids so that we're spending taxpayer dollars early, efficiently, and effectively.
Judge Capizzi, makes sense to you?
Absolute sense. I think Aaron hit it right on the head that, you know, children are so different. And when we try to compare children with adults, we have problems. And if there's a need to merge, we'd look at every type of every option. But clearly, having a children's-focused department at the state level would be better than potentially merging us just with the adults.
You know, there's one thing before I let you go, Judge Capizzi, because I know you're going to be leaving us in a few minutes.
Yes.
But so DYS serves youth up to age 21, but the adult system takes people from the age of 18 up. How does that work? Where do we draw the line?
Well, it's complicated, Anne. And,
yeah.
I wish we kept children. I'm an advocate around the country to, frankly, increase the age of minority from 18 to 21. Because all the studies seem to show that a child's brain doesn't mature till they're 25.
Right.
And so I really, that is another battle we're going to have one of these days in the future. I'm still trying to get some states around the country raising their age from 16 or 17 to 18.
Huh.
But the next step is going to be to 21. Because clearly, children that are 18, 19, 20, they're children still. And although we expect them to act like adults, there are so many challenges. We forget so many children in this state have such an abusive childhood. They have so much trauma that we are trying to work on as juvenile court judges and just juvenile justice so that we can't always use an age date mm-hmm. as the time when a child should be an adult. And so we are trying hard to keep children in. I also believe that we should stop mandatory transfers to the adult court system for children. Because, again, I believe the juvenile justice system is in a much better position to individualized treatment for a child and their family.
And you mean mandatory transfers once they exceed the age of 21? Or?
Well, no. Right now, the law in Ohio says if you're 16 and you commit a certain type of crime, then it's, you're transferred to the adult system automatically. And I think the juvenile justice system and the juvenile judges and around the state should have the ability to make that decision, what's best for the child and the family and the community.
So, Ranuka Mayadev, the DYS is doing everything right now.
I mean, they're doing a good job. They're doing a good job. I liked what the judge said about thinking about where our children come from and what they're having to deal with. And that's really what we focus on at the Children's Defense Fund. And we have a lot of child poverty in the state. We have counties in Appalachia with over 30% of child poverty. And just for your listeners, that's a household income of about $22,000 of a family of four. And so with issues of hunger, toxic stress, of unsafe neighborhoods, these are all factors that lead to why children are in these systems in the first place. So we really need to think about that in terms of prevention. And that's where there really will be cost savings for the state and taxpayers.
Yeah, Judge Capizzi, I mean, the kids you see before you, feel pretty confident that most of them are coming from these toxic, stressful backgrounds.
Yes, and I would say it's not just inner city.
Yeah.
We have a lot of suburban communities and rural communities where, because of economic stresses in a family, that these children have such trauma as a child that we didn't experience that, didn't understand it years ago. So as you heard, we have a job of trying to help families protect their children, but also protect these children from the trauma of their community and society in general. And so I frankly think every child that comes in the juvenile justice system has experienced some type of trauma in their early childhood and early school years that make it more difficult and more challenging for us to help those children. Also, one more thing, Ann, is that we have so many children now who are the product of drug addiction 15 and 20 years ago. I don't think we understood as a society 15 years ago when a parent was doing crack cocaine or doing heroin or doing some other type of drug, how much that would affect children. So now we're seeing these children that are 8 and 10 and 12 who have severe behavioral problems that I believe resulted in many cases from the abuse of their parents on drugs and alcohol that are now just coming to light. Hmm.
Judge Anthony Capizzi, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Anna. Thanks to the other guests. Bye, everybody.
That's Judge Anthony Capizzi. He's a Montgomery County juvenile court judge. He's also president-elect for the National Council of Juvenile and Family Court Judges. We're going to continue our conversation talking about the potential merger of the Department of Youth Services with the Department of Rehabilitation and Correction by the state of Ohio. It would be a budget issue that would come up in the next 2-year state budget, but it affects a lot more than the bottom line. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about Ohio's juvenile prison system. The Columbus Dispatch has reported that the administration of Governor John Kasich is studying a possible merger of the state's juvenile and adult prison systems. But such a merger has been touted as a potential efficiency between the systems. Others are concerned about what the impact would be on Ohio's juvenile offenders. Still with us, Executive Director for the Children's Defense Fund of Ohio, Ranuka Mayadev. Also, Executive Director of the Juvenile Justice Coalition, Aaron Davies. And joining us is Criminal Justice Fellow at the Buckeye Institute, Daniel Du. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Daniel, you think that a possible merger could bring about savings between the systems. And yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty clear that might be a reason why, but how would it bring about those savings, do you think?
Yeah, so I think I'm in agreement with a lot that's been said this morning with ensuring that any merger would be an administrative merger. What we don't want is we don't want juveniles to be treated like adults, that the facilities merging, those things cannot happen. While saving money is important, the most important thing, obviously, is the youth that this this program is serving. So I think I'm in agreement with the things that have been said this morning.
So when we talk about a merger, you're thinking shared services like clerical? I'm trying to figure out what it would be, because so much of it is a state of mind and their missions are so different.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be more what we're. And this is all hypothetical, since this is
we don't know yet.
But we would envision, or I would think, it would just be the clerical oversight, administrative stuff. And as far as the mission goes, I think that DRC, and I have to say that Director Moore has done a great job with DRC. But what we see is that the rehabilitation efforts is really what's saving money in the long run. We have a lot of states that have moved more towards that model and are saving money, and it's really lowering crime rates in the community. So it's really serving all these purposes. So perhaps in a merger, we could see the mission of DRC move more towards DYS.
Are you satisfied, though, that the missions of the two agencies are sufficiently similar?
I think so. It may not be in the stated mission statement, but in our meetings with DRC, I know that rehabilitation is really what they're working on. Obviously, the first priority is safe communities, but safe communities come through rehabilitation. We've seen that in Texas, North Carolina, and some of these other states that have really emphasized addiction and mental health services, rather than, you know, putting people in prison is not always the best option.
You know, we were talking earlier about the budget and the bottom line, and that the DYS has actually saved tens of millions of dollars over the years because its recidivism rate's going down, because they're doing things at the local level. It's more effective. The rehabilitation's more successful. But the money's going out into kind of the general revenue fund ether, whereas if it merged with DRC, it would stay within that system. Do you see any benefits there?
I think that DYS has put together a good model, and I think we need to explore whether that'd be a good model for DRC to take on as well, where the savings that DRC recognizes would come back to the communities. Because right now, the communities don't have the funding to provide services for all the people that need it with the
adult system.
Yeah, with the adult system, all the drug addiction that we see, all these problems, you know, the communities need more resources to help those people.
Ranuka Mayadev, what do we know about how many people in the adult system started out in the youth system?
There are a lot of folks in the adult system who came from the juvenile justice system. I mean, that's what the Children's Defense, when we call the cradle to prison pipeline, that we have these children who start out in from poverty, didn't have the supports, mental health, behavioral health, may get kicked out of school for out of school expulsion, suspension, don't come back into school, end up committing a crime. I mean, there's a continuum that we can't not focus on when we think about these kinds of policy changes.
So do you see some benefits, though, in merging the two systems since DYS has been so successful? I mean, is it possible that smaller system could influence the larger?
I think the children, and that they are developmentally very different from adults. I think we need to remind ourselves of that. And the reality is there are individuals in DRC that will never reintegrate into our community.
Right.
Every single one of those children in DYS will reintegrate. They will live with us in our communities. And so that mindset is very different.
How much does the mindset, what's your sense about that, Aaron Davies, as far as we talk about it's kind of these these kind of psychological terms, but are they, do people really think about things in these ways, or are they just, you know, doing their job every day and, you know, stamping papers and moving people through?
Yeah, I think in DYS, I think it was Randy talked about, you know, they've really made a conscious shift from guards to youth development officers and from uniforms to polos and all of these very fundamental cultural changes that really recognize the fundamental differences between kids and adults. And that's been recognized now constitutionally by the U.S. Supreme Court. I think, too, that rehabilitation looks really different for mm-hmm. kids and adults. Kids are biologically, I mean, if we remember ourselves at 13 versus now, we're different people. And so we need different responses. And my concern, too, is agencies that have merged the two together, there can only be one leader of a merged agency, right? And with the imbalance between the funding,
right.
You know, DRC's budget is $1.7 million. DYS's is $230 million.
$1.7 billion.
Billion,
yeah,
with a B, right,
right?
Versus our $230 million.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, Daniel Du, what your thoughts are about something that Aaron Davies said earlier about how some states have merged their DYS or their Department of Youth Services or whatever, you know, facsimile that is, with Department of Human Services.
I'm not familiar with the states that have merged it with Department of Human Services. I know that North Carolina is one of the states that's merged their youth juvenile system with their adult system.
Mm-hmm.
And they're one of the states that's leading the way on criminal justice reform overall. They've seen a lot of good savings. They're saving over $115 million a year with the reforms that they've made. Commissioner Geis. David Geis is in charge of both systems now, and I think that they haven't seen any drop-off in the services that their juveniles are receiving after that merger.
And they haven't seen any increase in the number of offenders, and the recidivism hasn't gone up or anything like that?
It has not.
Hmm. But what about the idea of rethinking it and thinking about merging DYS with a human services?
Yeah, I mean, all these are hypothetical ideas,
right?
and I think that all sides need to be open to considering those things. You know, like I said earlier, saving dollars is good and it's important. We have limited resources, but ultimately it's what's best for the child and for the community that's most important.
If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513. We have just a few minutes, so don't wait if you've got something on your mind. DYS is under a federal court order to improve how it handles young prisoners. A member of the Ohio Civil Services Employees Association says that trajectory of success could be affected by a merger. Does that court order doesn't go in a way? I mean, Ohio still has to abide by that, right, Aaron Davies?
Yes. So the settlement actually ended about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And so DYS has now kind of integrated all those items from the settlement into its day-to-day practice. And I believe that the agencies could learn something from each other. I think the question is, should you merge two completely different philosophies versus learning from each other? And that's where I really get back to a kids agency that would really, I think in larger agencies, kids get lost when you're looking at both kids and adults. And I don't want that to happen with DYS. And I think other kids could benefit from pulling and specifically looking at youth across the state and all of these other agencies to see how we holistically can improve their lives.
And what do you think about that?
I mean, I think that is certainly an option that needs to be looked at. I mean, I think that when we see the adult offenders, though, a large portion of them suffer from mental health problems, addiction problems, mm-hmm. and everything. So, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but I don't know how differently... I think there are some similarities between them that aren't discussed always. And like the judge said earlier, you know, this magic number of 18 mm-hmm. is not a good hard number. And some states are moving their juvenile system up to 21. And I think that's a great step because they are different than adults.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to Children's Defense Fund of Ohio, do you see your mission extending beyond that 21? You know, as we said earlier, maybe it was you or the judge, that psychologically it's been shown that we're not really adults in so much until we're around 25, yeah. Psychologically.
No, that's exactly right. I think the research has shown us brain development, neurological pieces of the mind are not fully developed till 25. And so we really do need to focus on that whole continuum prenatal. We've now focused, understood that really the before even birth, we need to focus on moms. And so now it's extending to 25 to make sure our children enter successful adulthood.
I'm going to take a call now from Gabriella in Cleveland. If you have a question or comment, just a few more minutes, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And, okay, guess we can't get, can't get Gabriella on. I'm sorry about that, Gabriella. How do you, there was a question I wanted to bring up. $300,000 are spent per youth. It seems like a lot of money. Could we go into a little bit more detail about what we're talking about there, Erin Davies?
Absolutely. So it's actually $198,000 per kid per year in DYS facilities, which is the equivalent of 9 years undergraduate education at Ohio State. So we could be giving kids 2 college degrees for the time that they spend 1 year in our DYS facilities. DYS does break that number down in terms of treatment and food and kind of basic needs meeting. And that number is actually pretty low compared to the staffing costs. I also want to talk about this idea that 500 is kind of our sweet spot number.
Actually, mean it could be lower is what you're saying?
It could
yeah,
be.
Okay.
Only 30% of kids in DYS facilities are labeled as high risk under an objective risk assessment that we use in Ohio. So really, I think our ideal population is more like 150 kids.
And who would be composed of what? I mean, who would they be? Are we talking about hardcore what?
Well, I think so when we talk about hardcore, I want to point out that the Supreme Court cases that have pointed to this developmental differences have been really bad facts. They've been murders, things that kids used to get the death penalty. They used to get life without parole. And even in those cases, the most extreme cases, the Supreme Court has said developmentally, kids can change for the better. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to really move away from this idea that there are hardened youth criminals, which is the idea we had in the 90s, right, of the super predator that really got us to the high populations that we had, and move more towards each kid has the possibility to change for the better if given the right services and the right investments. And so we have a lot more work to do. Also, 60% of the kids in our facilities right now are Black. And so we have more work to do in the DYS facilities. And I think it's just critical that we keep focus there to make sure we're not losing kids.
Hmm. And do you see, I mean, do you see the I guess, these ideals, whether it emerges or not, do you see them leaching into the adult system? Because once again, there are psychological juveniles, many of them in the adult system.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Ohio right now has the Criminal Justice Recodification Committee going on.
Right.
And it's reviewing the criminal laws in the state of Ohio and how we treat criminals. And I think that they're doing a great job with moving more towards treatment. You know, there's who is dangerous and who can be helped. That's the line that needs to be drawn. And those that can be helped, we need to help them. Those who are dangerous, let's lock them up. Let's put them away so that our communities are safe. But I think that the adult systems are moving more in that direction. And we found that that's good policy for people. It's good policy for our communities, and it's good policy fiscally.
Well, Daniel Du, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Daniel Du is a criminal justice fellow for the Buckeye Institute. Ranuka Mayadev, thanks to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
Ranuka Mayadev is the executive director of the Children's Defense Fund of Ohio. And Erin Davies, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Erin Davies is the executive director of the Juvenile Justice Coalition. Thanks a lot for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.